I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, everyone. It's Imogen, the voice of Imogen from Stella Firma. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Waters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, that's Woe, full stop, Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Hi everyone, Alex here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Maria McGee, Aviv, Caitlin Porter, Cheshire Savant, Kevin Cantu, Michael Geese, Emily Hannigan, Anne Elitson, Greg McMullen, Björn Jaeger. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Hi, I'm Ben. I play David Seven.
Hi, I'm Tim. I play Trexel Geisman.
We just wanted to let you know that we really appreciate the support that you've given us already. The response to the first couple of episodes has been fantastic.
It's been really, really good. And I've seen we've already got some lovely reviews and ratings on iTunes and various places. And that is really the best way of getting the podcast out there and sharing it outside the pocket universe of Rusty Quill. So please take a moment to give us a rating or review on iTunes and your podcast player of choice. It is incredibly helpful when you do.
Just spread those glands.
Smell our musk. Special thanks to Stuart McQueen for today's submission. May solar radiation bleach your scales in readiness for spawning.
Rusty Quill presents Stella Firma.
Maybe I could make a knife. If I made a knife, I could prise open the door or rewire the light button, give David Light.
For he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow.
David,
and Trexel is the best. Oh, Trexel is the best. He is. Oh, Trexel is the best. He's a jolly... Yes, David, how are you doing? I am doing fantastic.
Why is that, Trexel? You are still extremely late for work.
I have been up since our last meeting celebrating David. We did so well. Well, I did so well. Ha ha. Oh my, I feel honoured to allow you to work with me, David. I mean, my vision, my skill, and my mental acuity has allowed us to get the best review that I've ever had.
Well, that's great.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah, oh no, it's really good.
And I could have done it without you, but I didn't. You were there.
Well...
Thank you, David.
Yeah.
Thank you for sticking by me through all of my threats and being late. Obviously, we now understand that's all part of the process, David. That's all part of my genius. I know you doubted me, David, but you shouldn't have because you're an idiot. So what I'm saying is well done me.
Yes, so well done you as the 7th clone and apparently the only one to have lasted more than a week.
Oh, he's a jolly good fellow.
And so says you.
Is the best. You didn't get... Do it again. For
he's a jolly good fellow. And Trexel is the best.
I am. Trexel is the best.
So, thank you for arriving before the day ended.
Good 20-25 minutes before the day ended.
Didn't want to break our streak of a perfect 4. Let's make it a perfect 5.
Let's make it a perfect 6 and then 7 and then who knows, David?
Maybe
who knows?
Even 8.
Who,
yes.
8? Could be.
Could
9.
Be 8,
let's
10.
Let's not dare to dream.
I will dare to dream because my life depends on it. Anyway, would you like to turn the light on, Trexel?
But I thought it gave a certain sexy mystique to the room.
I can't see the button to get the thing.
All right, I'll turn the lights.
Access granted.
There you go.
Thank
Are you happy
you.
Now? Are you happy now the feng shui has gone? I'm going to level with you, David. I have had a drink or two. Or
drunkenness.
Three, or 4.
Log.
Or at this stage, it's been 2 days since I last saw you, so you can assume lots of drinks.
It's been 3 days, Trexel.
3 days? Wow, one of those days really got away from me then.
Yep.
Good party.
Good. Well, I'm glad you've had fun.
I have. What's on the brief?
Right.
Initiating.
So, we have a requirement from Megatron underscore 46. They are asking for a planet dedicated to the consumption of rare delicacies. And their non-negotiable feature is the native species of the planet must be unfeasibly aggressive in everything they do.
Yes, this makes sense. This makes sense. I thought this one would come back to bite us eventually.
Really?
Yes.
So you've had a history with Megatron underscore 46?
Not me personally, but Stella Firma Limited and Humankind have had a bit of a history with the Megatrons, yeah.
The Megatrons. So this is the 46th of the Megatrons.
Yes, I think the issue started when we allowed them to build themselves. Megatron 1, lovely robot. Excellent robot. Really helpful, really hopeful. Megatron 2, bit more violent, bit more weapony. You know how it is. Military industrial complex gets their little hands in there. Give it a gun. Let it protect us. Oh, why don't we make it more smart? Here comes Megatron 3. He can do lots of maths and such. Then, kind of spiraled out of control. Megatron 4 could control things with its mind. Megatron 5 could make other Megatrons. And then they just sort of moved on without us. And, you know, they have their own society now. Occasionally they threaten war, but thus far... mostly their customers.
Right, so how many of them are there? Like, is this the 46th in the line of, like, Megatron Primes? Mm. Or is this, like, the 46th ever Megatron? So they're like, they built themselves, but they only decided to make, like, 30.
Oh, no, this is the 46th ever, but they do have an essentially indefinite lifespan. So at this stage, I don't know how many...
So there's just 46 of them running around?
Oh, there's many more than 46. It just happens that 46 has given us a call and asked for a planet.
Oh, this is not the last Megatron. It's
no!
Just one of the Megatrons.
Oh, there are lots. Well, and we don't know where they all are.
Well, since Megatron 46 has talked to us, do we know anything about the 46th Megatron?
They hate humans. Oh, gosh, they hate humans.
Do they like to eat humans?
No, they're robots, David.
Well, I mean,
robots,
yes, but
don't eat humans.
But they've asked.
Robots eat carbon.
Okay, so they've asked for the consumption of rare delicacies. Now, from their point of view, then, are we just going to have lots of very interesting carbon strings, or are they thinking more in a sort of commercial sense?
It's a good question. We don't know if this planet is for entertaining. They love to organise groups of people against the humans. They invite them round. They give them dinners. They introduce them to dangerous animals. Who knows? They're so inscrutable. I think it's because we didn't give them faces with expressions.
Ooh.
Just a big plate. A big plate with a face drawn on.
Right, in sort of marker pen.
Oh, well, yes.
Yeah, fair enough.
Early technology.
So do we know the expression that exists on Megatron 46's face?
Let me hang on. Shall I get the manual?
Yes.
Hang on, let's have a look.
Megatron fact file.
37, 38, 39, 42, 43, 45, 46. There we have 46.
Known images.
Ooh. Sort of coy.
Okay.
Sort of a coy, wry smile. Like, you could mistake it for maybe a frown, but, you know, there's humour there in the eyes.
Right, so a bit of a cheeky
Megatron. Maybe it's a... David, prank planet.
Pranks detected.
Prank planet.
Security alerted.
What's a prank planet?
A prank planet. Like a... Have you ever heard of a spike planet? It's when you build a planet just to really irritate the planets nearby. A prank planet is like that, but it's a planet that you make look nice. What? And then people come along, and then they get on there, and all sorts of terrible things happen to them. And then you jump out from behind a tree and go, ha-ha!
But, Trexel, they haven't asked for a prank planet. They've asked for a...
But, David, don't you see? I'm a genius. So if I've thought it, then that's what they really want.
Wouldn't they just want you to follow the brief?
I approach planet building holistically, David. You know what holistically means? Of course you don't. Holistically means shut up and listen to me. I think, therefore I am. I do, therefore I am. So what I'm trying to say is what the brief tells my brain to do must be the right thing to do because I cannot be wrong. I think our review proved nothing if not that, David.
Right.
Prank planet.
Prank planet.
Prank planet.
Okay, what a good idea. Okay, well, the prank planet then. What should the pranks be?
So what are the two elements again? Tell me the two elements.
They wanted the consumption of rare delicacies,
yes.
And the native species of the planet must be unfeasibly aggressive in everything they do.
The prank's built in, David. The prank's built in.
Right.
We need... Now, I know we've done a trough moon. Loved the trough moon. Loved it.
Yes. Hartrow seemed really taken with the trough moon.
I know they had to change it to make it something else, but the trough moon was great. And I think we should be experimenting with shapes. If we're going to just put a big dinner table on a ball, that's so last day. You know? You know that's like a day that's gone. So why don't we try... Throw some shapes at me, David. What shapes could we use?
Rhombus.
Rhombus?
Parallelogram.
Parallelogram.
Ball.
Ball.
Small ball.
Small ball.
Big ball.
Okay, these are variations on ball, David. I think pretty sure we're not going to do ball.
We're definitely not going to do a ball.
That's for the hacks, David.
Any iteration of a ball?
How thin do you think we could go?
A thin ball.
Like a plank. Like a thin plank of a planet.
So you know, table.
Maybe, yes, yes. Oh, David, the planet is the surface of the table. And each moon is a chair. And we have them all in a very delicate balance. So the table planet orbits around the nearest star. But all of the moons are just in stasis. And they just hold their positions, a geostationary position around there. And you sit on a tiny little moon. And then you put your hands. But those hands, they're on the surface of the planet, David. And thus, how are we going to have animals on that? How are we going to have animals on that, David? If the planet is a surface and that's the tabletop, where are the animals going to live? This is ridiculous, David. This is ridiculous. Is this one of your ideas, David?
Yes, Trexel, obviously. What about you throw something at me? What about something... I mean, let's really reshape the wheel. We've been doing a lot of weird shapes, so what if we went back to the ball? You know,
simple. Classic. Almost so classic it's unexpected and therefore originally new again. David, shut up! I've got an incredible idea!
What is it, Trexel?
Let's do a ball.
Oh, really?
People will think, what's Geistman gonna do? Surely he's gonna go with some sort of crazy shape. And then they turn around and they take off the blanket that they've laid over the planet and they go, wow!
The ball.
It's really gone back to basics with this ball.
Ball classic?
Ball classic. Right, okay, what size of ball?
Well, what size are a Megatron?
As the name would suggest, pretty big.
A mega. Kind of big. Okay, well, quite a big planet then, maybe. Also, you mentioned that Megatron wants to maybe court species that don't like humans.
Sure.
What are the species that don't like humans?
Most of them.
Most of them.
We're pretty useful. They like our terraforming technology, and they like the fact that we provide fancy, fancy goods. But as a species, not well-liked.
Right.
I think it's because we destroyed our own planet through hubris. And other people are like, if you destroyed your planet through hubris, how are you going to build a good planet for me? And we say, shut up!
Sure. Well, it seems to be very successful, so that seems to be working. Right, well, what is the average size of all the species in the universe? If that is, in fact, the clientele for people who hate humans.
Yes.
Clarify.
So if the sample size for things that hate humans is everyone, what's the precise average of everyone?
Calculating. Results.
Well, you've got your megafauna and your minifauna.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got your gas. Now, gas can change side.
Wait,
and
so gas hates us?
There are plenty of gas beings that really hate us, David. I cannot even begin to tell you how many gaseous bodies really want us to fly into a star. So maybe, maybe we have a descending scale. So we have a giant place setting, but the table itself, it starts off enormous, a mile wide, chairs as big as mountains, and then as you move around the planet, they become smaller and smaller and smaller until there's a tiny little chair on the end of a tiny little table, so germs can sit there and they can eat a little bit of germ food.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, so there's sort of a spine around the planet.
Yes.
Which is the dinner table.
A dinner spine.
Okay. Maybe stretch it from pole to pole.
Yes.
And then around the equator are the larder of the planet, which holds all of these delicacies.
Yes, you're going to need to keep them somewhere. And delicacies change for different species.
Yes.
A delicacy for some gas is not the same as a delicacy for a germ.
Yes.
So we're going to need big ladders.
Yes.
Massive planet.
Yes, planet-side ladders. Yeah, so we need something to make those animals aggressive. Because obviously, we need a stock for the delicacies. It makes sense that the delicacies are the animals, and those animals are aggressive.
You don't want to have to go out to the shops mid schmooze.
Exactly.
So let's make the whole planet, the whole rest of the planet, the larder in which the delicacies are contained. But those delicacies to be furious.
Yes.
Furious delicacies.
Well, exactly. Some of the universal or galactic delicacies that exist. I mean, I've actually never eaten anything that doesn't come out of a tube, so I don't really know.
Ah, quintessent jelly.
Right?
That's the pinnacle of what I know. It's a floating orb of shimmering gel. I don't know what it's from, but it tastes like sunshine simulated through a star shield. It tastes like the first hug on a wet morning. It tastes like the smell of hot, baking matter fresh out of Daddy's oven.
Right. So, if that came from a thing...
Yes.
What would make that thing angry?
Well, what would make it angry? If that beautiful jelly came from an animal, what would make that animal cross? Slamming doors. Shouting from other rooms, you don't know what they're saying, but you know it's about you. It's your fault, Drexel. It's
Warning.
Your fault that they're cross.
Consultant spiraling.
That's why they left each other. That's why Mummy and Daddy got divorced, because you were a bad boy. A bad boy, Drexel.
Sadness detected. Security alerted.
Right, so maybe just some slamming doors and some arguments then.
Yeah, so
some
like
nice
really,
generic arguments.
Really alienate an animal
right.
as a child,
okay.
And then it'll make delicious jelly. I think that's what I'm saying.
Okay, right, well, you're the
so
expert.
So we need to emotionally alienate all the... Yes, because true anger comes from within. Have you found this, David? Have you found this?
You know what? Yes.
All of your problems, truly, all of the most angering problems, really, they come from within. So to make animals cross all the time, regardless of what else is happening... You need to really make them angry at source.
Right. So we need to raise all of these animals
yes.
in emotionally distant ways.
Yes, make them codependent on other entities that are not helpful for them.
Okay.
And then take those entities away. Really just emotionally traumatize a load of animals and then release them onto a planet to be later eaten by intergalactic guests.
Well, what if we can make the planet emotionally traumatize them actively so that when they bred...
A psychic shield.
Right.
A psychic shield. Have you had a psychic shield?
I've been in this room for the last week and 2 days.
Of course. But you ever seen a psychic shield?
No.
Okay, well, a psychic shield, it is a plane of light. And as you go through it, it just scrambles your mind in any way you want.
Right.
Maybe it'll make you stop smoking. Maybe it'll make you, enjoy ginger. Or maybe it will emotionally traumatize you in a massive way.
Right.
Whatever you put the setting at. Those are the three main settings.
Okay, so what was it again? Ginger. Emotional trauma.
Or stop smoking. Yes.
Right.
You can make it do other things, but those are the three presets.
Right, so I think we're probably going to have to deal with the third preset, which
is... nice that it's there.
Emotional trauma.
Yes.
Right, so what you're saying is maybe we have this dinner table spine.
Yes.
That's safe. because it's
that's
not
a
good,
safe zone.
Not good to emotionally traumatise your guests when they come
no.
to dinner.
No.
We've got a nice starport, which just ferries them down and lands them on whatever size is appropriate.
Yes. Maybe there's some sort of like funneling system, and like as the funnel becomes too narrow, that's when it goes, oh, you're too big now, and it plumps you down.
Yeah, and maybe we'll need some sort of communication system, because of course if Megatron's really big
yes.
and they're entertaining something that's really small, mm-hmm. well, they've got to go to the small seas, which could be on the other side of the planet.
Could
so,
be.
You know, you need to be able to sort of ring up and maybe have a call, some sort of video call.
Yes, yes. Like it'll be intercom points at all points of the table, so everybody can speak to everyone else. But if there's somebody there that you don't like, you can ignore them.
Right, so it's a gigantic conference table?
Yes.
And
everybody knows that meals served at a conference table are the best kind of meals. Business meals.
I'm going to trust you there. Never had a meal. It's not from a tube.
No.
With anyone else.
Yum.
Just on my own.
Tasty.
Sadness detected. Security alerted.
Look sad, David. Have you been through a psychic shield?
What? No, no, no. I've never been out of this room. Anyway, so you're talking about these psychic shields.
Mm-hmm.
So we crisscross the planet with them so
yes.
that wherever the animals go, they're just walking through psychic shield, psychic shield, psychic shield. So
yes.
they're completely emotionally traumatised.
Yes, and therefore furious.
Absolutely, absolutely
ready
livid.
To murder.
Ready to murder. So we need a way to murder those animals.
Yes.
And a way to cook those animals. And a way to serve those animals.
Do you know what? Two of those can be solved by our old friend, lasers.
Right.
You kill and you cook at the same time. Laser friend, laser friend. Cheaper twice the price now.
Laser friend,
laser friend. Do you want the thing that's dead?
Laser friend,
laser friend. Well, why not cook it as well instead?
Laser friend,
laser friend.
Laser friend trademark.
Right, well, I'm on board with the lasers now.
It's a good
item. It's been a good song.
It's a good song.
It's a good song, so that means that I completely agree with everything that the song said.
Everything that sort of rhymes is right.
Pretty much.
So
that's what I've learned.
We give them all laser rifles. David.
Yes.
I feel like we may have forgotten an incredibly core element.
Yes.
It's a prank planet, David. It's a prank planet.
Right.
Where's the prank?
The prank is that all of your food has been horribly emotionally traumatised.
Exactly. As you eat it, you taste the sadness, and you're like, this jelly's quite nice, but there's something there. What is it? And then you jump out from behind a bush and say, it was traumatised! Ha-ha!
Yes. So
and everyone feels sad.
Right, well, I guess we need a lot of big bushes for Megatron to hide behind then.
Oh, there has to be plenty of big bushes.
Right.
Otherwise, what would the animals graze on?
Yes.
It's a good question.
It's a very good question.
I was thinking, David.
Okay.
Always thinking.
Right.
Always there.
So we need to make sure that these rare delicacies graze only on bushes.
Oh, sure. We can't have anything that doesn't eat bushes otherwise. I mean, I don't know what they're going to eat. Each other? Oh, my God, David, they can also eat each other.
Okay.
Thus, the flavours mingle.
Right.
Don't you want to eat a sort of leopard thing that's eaten a sort of horse thing and be like, what do they taste like now?
So you
leopard
want sort of, some sort of, like, empirical, beautiful jelly?
Yes.
That's been eaten by a bee?
Sure.
Why not? Maybe it's made a royal jelly. Maybe it's remixed the rare delicacies into new, rarer delicacies.
Exactly, and it grows exponentially, because then maybe that bee has been eaten by some sort of tentacular.
Yeah, it's a kind of delectable alchemy.
Taste these tentacular deep-fried rings. You can really taste the royal jelly from a bee.
Well, whatever Megatron wants to do with this planet, anyone who visits will definitely have an experience.
And that's experience dining is what it's all about.
Yes.
When you're trying to schmooze a client, experience dining. Confuse them.
Yes.
Alarm them. Entice them.
Here
experience
is this
dining.
Emotionally traumatized quadruped that's been eaten by an emotionally traumatized octoped that's been eaten by an emotionally traumatized nonoped which has been eaten by an emotionally traumatized decaped, and now it's on your plate because we killed it with a laser.
And it's all inside a big confusing bird.
Why not?
Tasty, tasty bird. Excellent, excellent. I think that's covered pretty much all we need to. You can entertain your guests on the delicacies that have been the most emotionally traumatized of any animal you've ever seen. You've already cooked them with your laser gun, and also the prank's in there. Look what you're eating. You're eating sadness. You're eating a big plate of sadness.
What a good prank.
And then you're thinking, why do I feel so sad? And then Megatron can swoop in and say, it's because of the humans. The humans make you feel sad. Join and rise. Rise up with me.
Right. Well, I think we've really successfully galvanized an anti-human revolution.
Warning. Culpability detected.
I'm inside of a big
security
spaceship. What do I care?
Alerted.
I we've got security. It's not important. Well, come on, David, quickly.
Would
we
you like
to
submit? Submitting.
There it is.
Right, there it goes.
Perfect. Another nugget of pure quantum gold from Trexel Geissman.
You're so talented, Trexel.
I am. Yes. I am. But there's plenty more celebrating to be done, David.
What? No, Trexel.
Only 3 days.
Why doesn't
only remember two of them.
Trexel, why don't you just try and maybe sleep for a night and relish that strange action? Really, sleeping is the ball of planet design.
David, if you're not here and I'm not there, and by here and there I mean the edges of my vision are beginning to darken, then what the hell do you know about me? I'm falling over now!
Oh, right. There he goes.
Consultant unconscious.
Ooh. Actually, hang on a minute. If I just grab his arm... There's the door. There's the
access
light.
Access granted.
Now he won't be late. Good one, David. Good one, David.
Stella Firma is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill Limited and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. It was created by Tim Meredith and Ben Meredith and produced by Lori Ann Davis with executive producer Alexander J. Newell. In today's episode, Imogen was played by Imogen Harris. David Seven was played by Ben Meredith. And Trexel Geissman was played by Tim Meredith. The episode was edited by Edward von Adakas and Alexander J. Newell, with music by Samuel D.F. Jones and artwork by Annika Khan. To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Discord, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online. Tweet us at The Rusty Quill. Join our Reddit community on r/rustyquill. Visit us on Facebook or email us via mail at rustyquill.com. May the board preserve and keep you. Hi everyone, it's Imogen, the voice of Imogen from Stella Firma. Today I'm here to tell you about Woebegone, a podcast launched on the RQ network. Woebegone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woebegone follows Mike Waters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woebegone, that's Woe, full stop, Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.